Hello and happy Friday! This is Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up with the most interesting and important stories before the weekend. Today we have some big news from the NEPA political scene. Former Congressman Matt Cartwright says he will not try to win back his seat in next year's election. And we'll learn more about a ketamine clinic in Luzerne County. It's Friday, June 6th. Let's get you up to date. First, we talked about farmers market vouchers on the show yesterday, but there's even more going on with Pennsylvania's food assistance programs. Governor Josh Shapiro has sued the USDA over the termination of a three-year, $13 million food assistance contract. The local food purchasing assistance program subsidized the cost for food banks to purchase produce from local farmers. As WVIA's Isabella Weiss reports, that's only the cherry on top of cuts to Pennsylvania's food programs.
House Republicans just passed a bill that would slash SNAP benefits if enacted into law. SNAP, also called food stamps, helps people afford groceries. And Ryan Prater from Feeding Pennsylvania said in an interview that cutting SNAP does nothing to address hunger.
It'll just force more people to turn to food banks when they can't make ends meet.
And the State Department of Agriculture announced last week that farmers market vouchers for women, children, and seniors face serious cuts. And Prater says the consequences of these cuts will affect every community nationwide.
These are our neighbors. These might be the people you see in the grocery store, but they just need that little bit of help at the end of the month.
He called hunger the silent epidemic.
I think people always think what you see on TV, Africa, right? Swollen bellies. That's not what hunger is in America. It's parents skipping meals so their children can eat. It's parents waiting for their kids to go to bed so they can eat whatever is left over at the end of the day. It's the effects of malnutrition in rural, suburban, and urban communities.
The Senate plans to vote on President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act and SNAP cuts by July 4th weekend. In Pittston, I'm Isabella Weiss, WVIA News.
Thanks, Isabella, for that story. And if you're looking for Lydia McFarland's story on farmers market vouchers, go to WVIA.org. All right, let's get to that political news now. Former Congressman Matt Cartwright said he seriously thought about it, but decided he will not run next year to get his seat back. WVIA's Boris Krautenyuk has more.
Former Congressman Matt Cartwright stood in front of an example of his congressional work Thursday and confirmed WVIA News' report from Wednesday. His days as a congressman are done. Cartwright lost narrowly to Republican Rob Bresnahan last year. He said he's grateful voters elected him six times, and a lot of people encouraged him to try again.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's time to hand over the reins to new blood.
Cartwright stood next to his wife, attorney Marion Munley, in front of a new emergency services building under construction in Moosic. He got $3 million in federal money to build the center.
In our congressional office, we placed a premium on working for economic development, helping our local employers navigate the federal and the state government as well.
Cartwright boasted about bringing back $100 million in federal money for local projects and passing 16 bills into law. After recapping his career, Cartwright said Democrats have a deep bench of potential candidates to run against Bresnahan next year. He plans to eventually endorse someone.
We're going to see how the process shakes itself out. There are a lot of people who could step right into my shoes, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from them fairly shortly.
The list of speculated candidates includes Pittston Mayor Mike Lombardo, Scranton Mayor Paige Cognetti, State Representative Bridget Kosarowski, and State Senator Marty Flynn. None of them have said they're running so far. A national Republican spokeswoman said Bresnahan's done more in 5 months than Cartwright did his whole career. She said Cartwright bowing out shows the race is over before it begins. Reporting from Moosic, I'm Boris Krautenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris, for that story. And now it's time for News Voices. In this week's edition, WVIA's Kat Bolis had some questions for Lydia McFarland about a ketamine clinic in Luzerne County. Here's more.
I'm Kat Bolis, and this is News Voices. Today, I'm here with Lydia McFarland. She recently did a piece on The Good Drop. It's a ketamine infusion clinic in Avoca. So, Lydia, what did you learn at the Good Drop? You know, what is ketamine?
Hi, Kat. Thanks for having me. So ketamine is what they call a dissociative anesthetic. So it kind of removes you from your body. And it is classified as a Schedule 3 drug by the Drug Enforcement Administration, which means that there is potential for abuse, but that it's also used clinically and that there's still potential for it to develop more uses in the medical field.
In reading your article, I was very interested in the nurses behind the Good Drop. Who are they, and you know, why did they open this clinic?
So their names are Kelly Wilson and Mara Capozzi, and it's funny, they've been friends, they told me, for a very long time. And once they graduated college, they became emergency room nurses together. And what they noticed as emergency room nurses is that there were a lot of patients coming in that were coming in for mental health crises. So they thought there has to be a better way to treat people that are going through mental health struggles than just sticking them in a bed in the emergency room. So they looked into alternative treatments for mental health, and they discovered ketamine.
Who did you learn is a good candidate for the ketamine infusions?
Good candidates for ketamine infusions are people with treatment-resistant depression, people with chronic pain, and people with anxiety.
So what are the risks, you know, associated with these infusions?
The risk with ketamine comes with too high or improper dosages. And this usually comes from self-medication, not typically something you're going to see in a safe, controlled environment like a ketamine clinic like the Good Drop. These side effects that come with an improper dose can be that you can almost get too dissociated, and this can come with confusion, hallucinations, a loss of control, and delirium, and it could feel difficult to get back to your normal state. There are also physical side effects that come with ketamine, and that can be harm to the liver, hallucinations again, difficulty urinating, and trouble breathing. The infusion lasts about 40 minutes, and it is an IV that is diffused. It's ketamine that's diffused in saline, and it's a very small amount of ketamine. Even so, they do not allow you to drive home after, so you have to have someone drop you off and pick you up from the appointment. But they want you to kind of just come down in this calming environment, think positive thoughts. They offer talk therapy for patients that want it after the infusions if anything difficult came up while they were going through the infusion. If not, they can just sit in that calming room in silence or with the therapist, with one of the nurses, whatever their preference, until they feel back to normal enough to go home.
Do you have any takeaways from the patient that you spoke with?
Yeah, so I spoke with a patient. His name is Kyle McEvensky, and he had been going through different psych drugs for about 15 years. So he had a really difficult time just being prescribed drugs that were not working for him. And he decided that he wanted to get off of the drugs that he was on and try something new because he said he just was not feeling like they were working. So he got a new psychiatrist who suggested trying ketamine therapy. What I got from speaking with Kyle is just that this could be a way for people with these chronic mental health issues to have a breakthrough. He told me that he had only been going to the Good Drop for a few months, and he already was seeing improvements in his mental health. It just shows me that in kind of this controlled environment, it's not dangerous. And again, this is a drug that is legal for use in Pennsylvania.
Great. Well, Lydia, thank you so much for joining me today here on News Voices.
Thanks for having me, Kat.
You can also catch News Voices Fridays during Morning Edition on WVIA Radio. More up to date after this break.
WVIA News is working hard to be your source for local, state, and national stories that shape your world. We're your connection to stories that truly matter, and we report to you. Find us at WVIA.org.
Welcome back. All right, let's get in the weekend mood with a little help from my culture-obsessed colleague, Haley O'Brien. It's time for Haley's Happy Hour.
I'm Haley O'Brien. This is Haley's Happy Hour.
This Friday and every Friday, performances made up on the spot. It's opening weekend for Electric City Improv. I'm joined by the founder, Sharon Phillips. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about this new improv group right here in downtown Scranton.
We are so excited to open up the doors of Electric City Improv downtown, right on Lackawanna Avenue. We are going to be doing shows, improv shows, every Friday night at 7:30 and at 9 p.m. So 7:30 is going to be our short form show, which is more like the Whose Line Is It Anyway style comedy, short form games and scenes, fast paced, fun. 9 o'clock is sort of the more artsy improv. It's called long form improv. And we do long scenes and a whole show based on either audience suggestions or stand-up comedy or monologues or whatever we bring that night. It's different every week.
So you've been coaching and teaching this mm-hmm. group. Tell me a little bit about your background.
I studied improv in Chicago during a really exciting time. It was the early 2000s, and I took classes and graduated from IO in Chicago, which is a really reputable theater for producing a lot of the talent that you see on Saturday Night Live or, you know, some of your favorite Netflix shows. Or that's where a lot of people got their start. So I was there during that time taking classes, and I just soaked up everything about the improv world. And what I really understand is the community. And I saw the chance in Scranton to help grow that similar kind of improv community here. I've been amazed by the talent in Scranton. I've been blown away. The people, I did not think that we would be ready to get on stage when we were, and they have just blown me away. And I know there's more talent out there. One thing that's kind of fun at our 7:30 shows that we're going to do that brings a lot of people to improv, we have a jam. Oh. And so after the show, we will invite people up in the audience who maybe want to try a game or two, and they can come up and play with us and get a feel for it. And it's really loose and relaxed, and you know, anyone can do it. There's an open house on June 7th, that Saturday, between 6 and 9, and we're going to have a big jam. So if there's anyone out there, they just want to drop in, learn about the programs, or jump on stage and try some of the games, we're going to have our players here to help it along. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, great. If someone wants to get involved and give it a shot, do you have any classes coming up soon?
Oh yeah, absolutely. In mid-June, we are starting level one, and that is for anyone who wants to jump in and get started. I also do intro workshops for people who just kind of want to dip their toes in. I'm going to be offering improv for kids as well.
Awesome. I love going to an improv show. There is nothing like the laughter at an improv show because we're all kind of experiencing that surprise together. You know, there's so much excitement and buildup and almost nerves in the audience because nobody knows what anybody is going to say next.
You're exactly right. The way I talk about it in the classes, improv is it's the only art form where the discovery is the art form. The audience and the performers are discovering it at the same time. And that's what makes it so exciting, and that's what brings out so much joy. It's different every time. Once it's done, it's gone. It is just that excitement, you know, when a moment happens on stage that is so spontaneous, it looks like magic, and it feels like magic.
I'm Haley O'Brien. This is Haley's Happy Hour.
And with that, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the weekend. Find these stories and more at WVIA.org or on your WVIA mobile app. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks so much for joining me this week on Up to Date. We'll be back on Monday. So take some time to subscribe so you can tune in every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.